on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes in midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Oh, that's your cue. That's your cue out here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. What do you think there, Kerry? Put your finger on the pulse of the crowd out there tonight. You think they're ready to go?
Let me check. Hold on. Calm down. Hold on, wait. All right, now go crazy. Go. There it is.
Wow.
You hear it.
It's good. On cue, you know, they follow directions well.
Yeah.
You know, they're coachable from what I can tell right off the bat.
You got to be coachable in everything you do. Yeah. You guys are great. So we're going to keep it feeding and keep it going today, okay?
Although there is one member of the crowd who concerns me.
Who is that?
He's wearing a Michigan hat, except Wolf. It's signed by who exactly?
Beanie Wells.
Oh, now think of that dynamic.
Can you imagine what he could get on eBay for a Michigan hat signed by Beanie Wells?
Beanie Wells, the Ohio State alum.
The winning bid is going to get the hat and just burn it, though. So it's not going to be that worth that much.
So now, Kerry, Louisville is playing Rutgers tonight. Is that correct?
Yes, they are.
Okay, not as we speak, as
real
we're here
soon.
On the Big Red Rage. Real soon, okay.
Real soon,
so we have your undivided attention for now.
For a little while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who is Louisville's archenemy in football?
In football, we got a little Kentucky.
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 Kentucky football.
Seriously? Even in football?
In football, too. Even though we beat them every year. I mean,
okay.
It's still a
all right. Wow.
Yeah.
Kentucky just got a new coach, by the way. And pretty soon, you're going to be looking for a new coach, just to let you know.
Don't you do that to me right now.
I'm just saying.
And Strong we trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a headline, Strong is a strong candidate here, Strong is a strong candidate there, Strong with a strong interview at that school. You're toast, by the way. The question, though, is if a guy walked up with a Kentucky hat and said, Kerry Rhodes, Louisville alum, can I get your autograph on this Kentucky ball cap, what do you tell him?
I would say it in the nicest way possible. I would say, no, get out of my face right now before we fight.
No, I see. Yeah. But cordially.
All of that.
You're not the amicable Kerry Rhodes.
You're going to get a physical beat down, but you'll say it in a cordial, polite manner.
Yep.
I see. Okay. All right. Does that mean you're ready then for Sunday? Are you trending and tracking towards being ready? If that's your mindset already, something tells me you're going to be peaking about Sunday, 11 a.m. Arizona time.
Yeah, we play some team called the New York Jets. Yeah. Some team, I heard about them a little bit.
Yeah, you know their team colors and their uniforms fairly well.
Yeah, they're maroon and white.
I see. Yeah. Right, slightly. Well, for those of us who are red green colorblind, like I am, you could get away with that actually.
Yeah,
I'd buy that.
Yeah. Kerry, how are you holding up physically right now?
Oh, physically, you're not healthy right now at this point anyway. Nobody. My back is doing okay.
Your back's okay.
It's okay. It's still tight from time to time, and sometimes I have to sit out some stuff and practice. But
have you woke up with the bloody sheets on a Monday morning?
Oh, jeez, Wolf. Come on
have
now.
You woke up, though? No. Have you had a spike driven into your back at any point during the week?
Not during the week, but game day, it's been close to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How are you doing emotionally, of course, having lost 7 in a row?
Yeah, man, it's draining. It's demanding as far as the season goes, physically, of course, but the mental part of it, I'm just, it hurts to not be able to get a win, and right now we need it in the baddest way possible. We need one right now.
You know, Fitz had a great comparison earlier today, and we'll hear that coming up on this edition of the Big Red Rage, and I think you'll probably concur with that, or maybe you'll have your own imagery to go along with what it's like to be mired in a 7-game losing streak. And just real quick, Wolf asked actually a very salient question there. Is your back still broken? Is it still fractured? What is the state of your back?
Yeah, it's still broken. Yeah, still fractured. And I'm just playing hard as I can every weekend. I'm, you know, trying to do what I can do for the help.
Boy, he's like Mike Tyson.
It's true.
My back.
Yeah. Spinal.
Broken.
It is broken.
All right. Well, we'll try not to have you carry Wolf as much through this show. Wolf, try and carry your own. We'll be back to get things rolling here. The Big Red Rage with Kerry Rose, presented by Santan Ford.
Charles.
Yeah.
Lindley takes. Hand off Wells. Up the gut. Plows through a defender. And Wells is in. Touchdown, Cardinals.
Oh, baby. That's exactly what you wanted to see.
It's a run play to Wells. Right side. He's at the 10. Wells at the 5. He's in. Touchdown. Beanie Wells second already here in the first half. And the Cardinals retake the lead.
There is no substitute for speed. And that is a big man getting the edge.
You guys aren't kidding there. Wolf and Pash, the Cardinals radio voice and the Cardinals radio network. In fact, grown Jim Almondo earlier today in the Cardinals locker room shaking hands with Beanie and saying how his hand just disappeared into Beanie's hand. I mean, he is a large man, and what a great sight to see him running. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford. He got the edge and nobody got him, Kerry. Beanie Wells, not once but twice in that opening drive, 15 plays, 91 yards.
Yeah.
There's the short yardage, and there's Beanie Wells to cap it off, a little punctuation.
Yeah, he came in and ran well. I think they kept his carries down to a minimal thing for him, and he was able to come back and run with some force and actually showed a little burst to get to the edge a couple of times, so that was a good sight to see.
And, of course, Beanie Wells had an awful lot of success in the first half. He ran the ball well, a couple of rushing touchdowns there, as we just heard. And in the second half, really struggled to run the football, I think, as a team, not just Beanie Wells, but as a team.
Yeah.
What was the biggest adjustment that you saw the Rams make?
Well, I think as the game went on, I think they put more guys in the box to stop them. I think they tried to dare Ryan to make some throws down the field, and, you know, for his first start, I think he played Wells minus the turnovers, but he couldn't make some of those throws down in the second half.
Makes sense, though, right? I mean, you got a rookie quarterback, and, you know, they're running the ball in the first half. I mean, it makes sense. They would, you know, stack the box and try and make the rookie QB beat him, right? You'd probably do the same thing if you flip the game plans, right?
Yeah, no question. You always want to go into a game and try to take away certain things from a team. And when you plan a young quarterback like Ryan, who hasn't seen a lot of action, to stop the run was big for those guys.
You know, I really think, too, going into this game against the New York Jets, the elements are there, right?
Yeah.
When you consider Rex Ryan and the method of operation for Rex Ryan and what he likes to do, he's notorious for coming with a lot of heavy blitz packages, and some of them, I would say, even unsound to a certain degree, a lot of the blitz packages that Rex Ryan will use. And you've got a rookie quarterback and Ryan Lindley. You've got a new center, Lyle Sendline, out for the season.
Yeah.
Rich Ornberger is going to be the new center for the Cardinals. He's going to be making the line calls.
Yep.
You've got two rookie offensive tackles. I mean, it all, when you put it all together, it says, oh my goodness, Rex Ryan is going to line up, I think, and come after Ryan Lindley and the Arizona Cardinals. The key for the Cardinals this week in order to win a game, beat the blitz.
Yeah.
Period. Especially when they look at the Ram game. Think of the one sample they have of Ryan Lindley as a starting quarterback. Think of the first half. Even with the pick six, here's a guy that went 17 of 24 in the first half, almost threw for 200 yards in the first half when the Rams were playing conservatively.
Vanilla, yeah.
And then in the second half, they totally changed what they did. They came after Ryan Lindley, used cover zero even a couple of times, bringing everybody, playing man across the board, and we saw the impact that had on the passing attack for the Cardinals. Knowing all of that, there is no doubt, right? Because you know Rex, you know New York, you know what's going on there.
Yeah.
They're going to come after Ryan Lindley.
Yeah, it's no question. I mean, when I was there, I mean, it's a little different. They had a guy named Darrell Revis that was in the game who could lock down the side as well.
Big time.
But when I was there, you know, if we had a young guy and we were playing against a guy that didn't have as much experience, he would dial up some exotic stuff and come after him. So there's no question he's going to do it.
You know, I have seen, Paulie, let me just jump in here and say this. I have seen Rex Ryan. You tell me, Kerry, if you've seen this too. I have seen him line not one, not two, but three defenders up outside of a tackle. Outside of that tackle. I've seen him line three guys up and all three of them fire off the edge with some type of coordinated stunt.
Yep, it's called the it's called a little overload blitz, and yeah, we definitely had that in the playbook for sure.
You remember running that then? You remember what Wolf just described? You remember you guys running that when you were at the Jets?
Yeah, no question.
And how successful was it? How risky is running something like that? Did you guys ever pay for it with a touchdown over the top?
Well, we didn't at the time. I mean, you know, we didn't back then, but it's risky. But he believes in those guys, and he believes that what he drew up was going to work that week, so he's going to let it go.
You know where I saw that first, Paulie, too? The Baltimore Ravens, where Rex Ryan was at, lining up three guys, head up on the tackle to the outside, running a coordinated stunt. He does it on third and obvious pass situations, third and eight plus.
Yep.
That's when you're probably going to see it. But many times, it's unsound to me, and that's one of the things that Rex Ryan likes to do. He likes to do things. He won't cover people. His dad used to do the same thing. Buddy Ryan, defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
He would do the exact same thing. Not cover certain people based on the fact that your tendency showed you never threw the ball to that guy anyways.
Yeah.
You know, free safeties are said to read the eyes of the quarterback, probably more than any other player back in center field. A, is that true? And B, when you read the eyes of a quarterback, if you do, do you ever see the confusion in a situation like that? Do you ever sense, oh, yeah, he doesn't know what's coming. He doesn't know what to do in this point.
Oh, yes, no question. You can see that.
You can see it?
I've seen it a couple of times. And sometimes the quarterback sometimes win that matchup by manipulating the safety a little bit, too. So it's a little bit of cat and mouse going on between those two.
But it takes a little experience to do that, doesn't it?
No question.
Of course, as you like to point out, you were a former quarterback, so you can sort of relate maybe on a different level to what that quarterback is experiencing at the moment. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When you were a quarterback, did you ever call your own number? And if you did call your own number, would it be akin to a guy ordering his own burger? Is that sort of the equivalent in a restaurant, you know, a Wolf enjoying a Wolf burger here at Marley's, for
example? Yeah, man. When you order your own burger, you know you made it. And I think I'm going to try the Wolf burger after the commercial.
It'll be done by the end of the commercial break. It's the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
What a great block by Lyle Sendlein right there.
You're always going to take a blow when you lose a player that's played that long for you and consistently for you. Plus, the communication part of it is what he does so well. But, you know, that's the way it's kind of gone this year. So the next guy's got to step up.
The toughness that guy has and the leadership, and that was all for the team. I mean, that's a guy that sold out, you know, knew he was hurt. I mean, not injured, he was hurt. You know, a guy that probably shouldn't have been out there playing but did. And, you know, it motivates you, puts things in perspective. To see how much you got to give up for this team.
All right, Ken Wisden on Ryan Lindley right there on Lyle Sendlein, the team captain who is done for the season with a torn MCL. Folks, this is a guy who suffered the torn MCL in the first quarter.
Hello.
And finished the game.
Come on.
I went up to his line mate, Adam Snyder.
No fooling.
And I said, how many guys do not finish that game with a torn MCL? And he said, 100%. He said, a lot of people have a hard time walking across the room, more or less going and anchoring an offensive line. How about a few words on that, Kerry Rhodes?
Well, Lyle's actually a good friend of mine. He sits on the plane with me on the away games, going to the games, and we talk a lot. And he's a guy that, I mean, he does everything for the team, and he's all about team. So it doesn't surprise me that he fought through that injury and tried to help us get a win.
What did he say after the game, if I might ask, on the plane? Did you guys, it was a home game. What am I thinking about that? I mean, has anybody, did you see him at all? I mean, you know, because even during the game, I'm watching him on the sideline, right?
Yep.
And he literally waved off the team doctors. I mean, the doctors sort of shaking their heads, and he just went right out there, back out to the huddle. I'm like, wow, that's, I couldn't hear anything. All I could do was see, and now it makes sense. I pieced it together afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's a tough guy, and he's going to do everything to help the team win. And just him having the ability and the want to go out there and try to finish that game. I mean, it's one game in a myriad of a whole bunch of games. And for him to come out there and do that was very special.
You know, to me, Paulie, what he did, that's the stuff of legend. It really is. It is an old school mentality that Lyle Sendlein showed by going out there and playing with that kind of injury. And even having said that, I don't think Jack Lambert goes out of the field and plays with a torn MCL. To me, I've never heard of a player doing it, tearing it that early in the game. and then needing season-ending surgery after it, and yet he completes that game with a torn MCL, Paul, I'm telling you right now, that is the stuff of legend when it comes to tough guys in the NFL.
I mean, what percentage of guys think about their career at that point? I mean, it's your livelihood.
It's not even the career part. You're just physically not able to do that. I mean, it's a tough thing to try to play with, and you see it doesn't happen. So it's not even that. It's just the part that he got it done.
Imagine this for anybody listening right now. Imagine if I took this ballpoint pen, Paulie, right here.
No, and we don't need an example.
What I did with a ballpoint pen is just jam it right into your knee as hard as I possibly can. Yeah. And it's sticking out off the outside of your knee, you're sitting there at your desk.
Yeah, I'm already in pain.
You're trying to type up this report for your boss, whatever it is. You have a ballpoint pen that is sticking out of your knee.
Boy. Yep.
Can you imagine the pain? That was the kind of pain that Lyle Sundline had to manage and mitigate.
Graphic. He got you. He got you right, though, huh?
You know, well, if you played against Ken Whisenant, in fact, when you guys met, the day that Ken Whisenant was introduced as a Cardinals head coach, you may not know this, Kerry. He did his introductory press conference. He comes off the podium. He comes down into the floor there, the theater, and he Wolf, don't hit me! When he saw Wolf, that was his first response. And well, I bring that up because Ken Whisenant said on Wednesday that Lyle was one of the toughest guys he has ever been around, period.
Period.
And he knows.
Absolutely. Ken Whisenant was a banger himself. That's what a lot of people don't know. Oh, he was a banger. He was a guy that they would move around and he'd wham block. He was one of the original H-backs. When everyone started to go to that two tight end set, there was a stud tight end and then there was a move tight end, and Wiz was a move tight end, which got dubbed as the H-back. Yep. And they used him to wham block a lot. He did all the dirty work. He played on teams. Wiz was a tough guy.
Yeah.
Kerry, to what degree is the motivation? You don't want to lose your job. You don't want to be Wally Pipped. You don't want to have somebody come in and play that well and you never get your job back. Look at Lyle Sundline. He's an undrafted rookie free agent 5 years ago. He had played in 81 straight games.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a notion he even had a legitimate shot to make the team, much less start most of his career and be a team captain and anchor the O-line. So someone with that sort of mentality who had to scrape and claw just to make the team, you wonder if, you know, how much of that mentality comes from that mindset.
That's probably true, but I think that should be for every player in the NFL. I don't think it should just be because he's an undrafted player. I think every player should have the mentality that they don't want to be replaced by somebody else, and they're going to perform every week to make sure that person stays on the sideline and you play.
Because you wonder now with Alex Smith, right? I mean, how about a quick thought, guys, on that? Yeah. Alex Smith goes out with a concussion, and now all of a sudden, boom, you know, Colin Kaepernick is the starter in a miraculous turnaround in San Francisco.
Yeah, it can happen that fast, man. I mean, a guy come in and he gets hot and the team wants to run with him, they're going to go with him. And, you know, Alex is seeing that right now.
I got so much to say about that, Paulie. I don't have enough time to say it.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Wolf has something to say. Larry Fitzgerald had something to say today. You got to hear that. We're also going to talk about who's filling in for Lyle Sundline. Rich Hornberger.
Cheeseburger.
And what that means. Not only a rookie quarterback, you got a new quarterback of the offensive line. We'll explain that as well. Hey, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo together will go far. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Fitzgerald wide right. Lindley takes. Play action pass. Throws near side. Fitzgerald on the catch at the 25.
Urgency is, it would be like he would be drowning. You know, have you ever been in the pool and struggling for air? And how hard you fight to get to the top? That's kind of how we all feel right now. We're drowning and we're struggling and fighting to do anything we can to get to the top. And if you're close enough to me, I'll pull you down to get to the air, you know. So that's where we're at with it.
How about that? About Larry Fitzgerald when asked, what's the urgency like right now in the locker room? And he equated it to, okay, you're in your backyard pool and you're underwater and you're fighting for air. You want to get to the surface and you're doing anything and everything you can just to get that next breath of air. Welcome into the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. So we ask you the same question, Kerry, the level of urgency. What's it like? I don't know. How would you answer that?
I don't know. I don't know if you can accurately answer it. I mean, everybody has their own takes of it. I think for me, we're very urgent. We're trying to get a win. I mean, you lose seven in a row, and that's just That just doesn't happen in the league without changes and stuff going on. So for us, you want to come out and try to solidify a win and get one for, you know, not just for yourself, but for your team and for your coaches and everybody involved.
You know, one of the mistakes I think a lot of players make in today's NFL is that when they get into this type of situation, they start reaching out to other guys and they're trying to rally other guys. And that's totally understandable. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but it's really not about the other guys and getting the other guys on the same page. It's about you.
Yeah.
Exactly, Kerry.
Yeah.
It is about you.
Yep.
This is the reason why you've got to internalize this stuff. You've got to make it personal to yourself. Because if you make it personal, how many times have you heard me talk about this? But if you make it personal, you won't care about what score it is. You don't care what quarter it is. You don't care what the down and distance is. All you'll know is you've got one more play in front of you,
yeah.
and that's an opportunity to do your job and do it well enough to help your team win. And if you get the other guy to feel the same way, if he feels that way, and you control yourself and you get your team to collectively do that as individuals, that's the only way you're going to come out of this thing on the other end.
Yeah.
The only way you can do that. You can't worry about everyone else. You got to worry about yourself.
Yeah, you got to look yourself in the mirror, no question. I think you hit it right on the head. You once you start looking at other people, you start pointing the fingers and doing all that stuff. And it really doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's each person, every down, doing their job. And that's what you got to get back to.
I realize in the NFL, there's no win one for the giver speech, you know, rah, 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 fight, fight, fight. Or, I mean, can the coaches really say anything at this point? Or is it just understood because you guys do this for a living?
Yeah, I mean, it gets to a point where, yeah, you can't really say much about it. I mean, coaches, players, nobody. You can't keep talking about it. You have to go out and get it done. You just got to go out and do it.
So when you hear, you know, Larry, you know, and I tell you, the look on his face after the loss
Damn.
Said it all to me. He didn't have to say anything on Sunday after the loss to the Rams, just a look on his face. And, you know, how tough is it to recover and refocus from week to week when this is going on?
Sometimes it lingers a little bit. I can't lie. You don't want to. You try to go to each week as its own entity, but sometimes it lingers more. It hurts more. And right now, when you lose 7 in a row, it hurts. So just try to get it. You just got to put it out your head as fast as you can and try to get it done the next week.
And it's also a very difficult situation to be put in as a wide receiver. You're the best wide receiver on the face of the planet. But the problem is with a wide receiver like Larry Fitzgerald, Paulie, is the fact that he needs a lot of help in
yep.
order to win a game
yep.
for his team. He needs a lot of help in order to be successful on the field. The offensive line, the running backs, the protection has got to be good for a quarterback, for the quarterback to throw the ball. The quarterback then has also got to throw the ball accurately after he makes a correct read.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald needs a lot of help in order to be successful. That's why it's so frustrating for him as well. Can you imagine being the best in the world at whatever it is you do, but you need help in order to be successful? And that's the situation Larry Fitzgerald is in right now, and it's one of the reasons why I think he's so frustrated.
Now, let me stop you at O-line there real quick. How about Rich Ornberger and that situation, you know? So what do we know about Ornberger, and how tough is that to come in and be the quarterback of the O-line, essentially?
No, Cheeseburger's a very – we call him Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. There had to be something to go with Burger.
Something. Cheeseburger, he's a guy that's going to do his job. He was a part of the Patriot thing, and he knows how – you have to be ready and be willing to step up and play when your number's called. So I'm not really worried about him coming out and playing, because he's played every position on the line anyway. So I think he'll step up and be fine.
I think the thing I'm worried about the most, Paulie, is just mechanically. Mechanically, I think intellectually, Rich Ornberger or Cheese. You ought to just call him Cheese. By the way. All right. I think intellectually he can totally handle that position. He's
yeah.
a very bright guy. And he's a guy that has been in the league. You mentioned New England and the 3 years that he was up there with the Patriots, right? He's a guy that has been in the league.
Yeah.
But I think he's not gonna have any problem making the line calls. But mechanically, the process of going through and snapping the ball, even though he was a center in preseason, got a lot of reps at center in preseason, it's going to be an adjustment for him.
Well, like you said, Rex Ryan is going to show a lot of different looks.
He will.
Right? Not just to challenge the rookie QB, but the new center.
He will, no question.
And, you know, I had a conversation with him earlier today, Rich Ornberger, and, you know, just to echo what you guys said, I mean, he didn't seem perplexed at all. I mean, I was sort of asking him a question, well, how much experience have you done? And he was like, hey, I'm ready to go. I mean, you know, there was a level of confidence there, a quiet confidence.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what I'm doing. You know, enough with the questions here, Mr. Media Guy. You know, I got that sense.
Your little pencil neck.
Yeah, exactly, out there. And so, Look, my prediction is if you guys can take a lead, I'm waiting for the Jets fans. Forget about making it noisy for the old line. I'm going with the silent count. I think the Jets fans will turn on the Jets at this point, especially after what happened on Thanksgiving night. I think they, and you know the Jets fans very well. Mm-hmm. I think they'll start unloading on their own team as soon as you guys take a 10-point lead.
Yeah, we want to start fast. I'll just say that. We do want to start fast, no question.
I mean, Fireman Ed has quit.
Fireman Ed, Jets. He hung the hat up, man. That's tough.
We might get into that a little bit later. That's foreshadowing here on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford of Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Soft.
Lindley barks out the call, takes play action fake, looks over the middle, fires, and is caught by Hausler in Ram territory at the 30-yard line, and he's finally down to the 25. He took on two defenders, gained a 28. You talked about Lindley on those seam routes, and Rob Hausler, after the catch, gets additional 5 yards.
Play action once again. You've got to show them you're willing to do it, and once you do that, that third dimension of offense opens up.
About 8 grabs, 82 yards, both career highs for Rob Hausler, the tight end for the Cardinals. It is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. There was definitely a connection there between the rookie quarterback, Ryan Lindley, and Rob Hausler. And it seems, more often than not, when Lindley finds him, it's down the hash marks. It's down the seams. You know, I mean, there's something about that. I guess that goes with the tight end. But, I mean, Hausler is becoming quite the weapon in the passing offense, isn't he?
You know what? He's one of the most athletic guys that we have on our team, and he plays the tight end position. He's definitely, I think if he improves, just keeps improving and keeps working, he's going to be a force to work with. He's going to be a force.
I think when Rob Hausler gets that level of confidence, where you stop thinking about what it is you're doing. You just know that you're good. You know you're prepared.
Yeah.
You know you're ready for success. When he gets to that level, I kid you not, I think this guy, he was my breakout player
of the year coming out of
Flagstaff.
Yep.
I think this guy could be a Pro Bowl tight end.
Oh, yeah.
If he gets to that level where he's not thinking about it anymore, he's just going out there and playing because he knows he's good and he knows he's prepared himself properly.
I agree with you.
Well, he orders his own burger, and then he cross-promotes his own breakout player of the year guy. So we expect that. But he's getting physical, too. You guys mentioned it there. He's taking on two different tacklers, and we didn't see that as rookie year very much.
You know, maybe what we ought to do is hand Rob Hausler the ball when he's blocking. Because what is it? He gets the ball in his hand, Kerry.
He's athletic.
And he turns into a guy that is running over people. He's choosing the third rail of running the football, running right over people. And yet when you watch him block, he's not that physical. He's much more physical with the ball in his hand than without it, isn't he?
I agree. I think, yeah. I mean, he turns to a different guy when he gets the ball in his hands. And I think, like you said, he's a physical guy once he catches it, and he's looking to, you know, make something happen.
That's so weird. I mean, that is just so odd for me. Just haven't seen a lot of guys that are like that, that are more physical with the ball in their hand than they are without it.
Except for Steven Jackson, maybe. Who, in that second half, and he had the 46-yard run there, and, he is still quite the challenge as he tracks for his 8th Pro Bowl, isn't he?
Yeah, and in open space, you don't want to see that big guy running at you.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, man. He can still move.
You ran him down, didn't you?
I went and got him.
You went and got him. And you had to go get him.
I had to go get him. I was the last guy. I said, come on, man. Somebody get there first.
Exactly.
That back but didn't seem happen. To be hurting you that much then.
Yeah, it loosened up a little bit then.
That'll realign your spine. A little one-on-one, mano-a-mano with Steven Jackson.
Yeah, I had a couple of nice ones against him. It was pretty cool.
By the way, I never did ask you in the fourth quarter of the Atlanta game, what was the deal with the bear hug body slam of the receiver, that tackle you had in the open field? It wasn't Roddy White. It wasn't Julio Jones. I don't remember who it was, but
it was
literally, you stood him up, bear hugged him, and then said, and you went WWE and just body slammed him.
It's funny because the guy who I made the tackle against, his name is Harry Douglas, and he actually went to school with me at Louisville.
Oh.
And so we were talking back and forth the whole game, and he kept trying to block me down the field, so I said, I'm going to get you. So once I called him, I gave him a little shot.
So you gave him the Brent Celek. You gave him a little extra.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on there with you, too, because you're Hollywood, right? That's your reputation. You're kind of slumming in Hollywood, aren't you? You're much more physical this year.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I will.
Why? Why are you?
Why? you know, I don't know. I just wanted to take a mentality. I mean, this defense is, we've taken on the mentality of being more physical as a mm-hmm. defensive unit, and as me being one of the leaders, you have to see your leaders doing that. When your leaders get down and get dirty, the other guys will follow. So that's part of it.
I mean, is it a conscious thing that you sort of decided, or it's sort of a vibe that exudes through the defense?
Yeah, I think it's more of a vibe. I didn't just go out and say I'm gonna be more physical right now. No, but I just think the way, the mentality of our defense is just to be more physical and be aggressive, and that's the way everybody's playing.
Because it seemed to coincide. If we had zoom out the big picture on this season for you, Kerry, and we go into the offseason, I mean, you don't do Twitter anything, and there are a few other things that you sort of eliminated and streamlined in your life. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a grown man, man. I'm 30 now. I just focus all my attention and everything on what I'm doing right now. You know, all the other stuff that I do, I'm still going to do it, but just do it after the season like I've always done. And, you know, I've noticed how things change as you get older, and I've seen the good in people and the bad in people. And just, you know, you just try to focalize it and make it yours and just move on.
You know, you're talking about your age. You're talking about getting older here and maturing a little bit. How much longer do you want to play?
Put me on the spot, Wolf.
Are you going to make them rip the jersey off your back?
Well, you know, this would be a good time to work in. It's time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. Kerry Rhodes, how long do you want to play in your career? It's the game show host to me.
As long as the Arizona Cardinals fans want me to play, I'll be there.
There you go. Well done.
Oh, my goodness.
Well played.
I believe they call that pandering.
Ding, ding. Double ding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what has the New York media been like? We look good compared to the New York media, don't we, this week?
Yeah.
Wolf and Calvisi, I mean, we're nothing compared to those. Always digging for a story.
Yeah, I'm in the friendly confines of the Big Red Rage, and, you know, those guys in New York are trying to get me to say a little something bad about those guys, but I'm not biting it, not taking the bait.
Yeah. They want to hand you the soup spoon so you can just stir it up, right?
Yeah. They want to write some stuff on the back pages, but it's not okay.
Are you glad you're out of that type of environment?
You know what? I'm happy that I'm here, man. Arizona's been great, and these fans are so unbelievable out here.
Well, I tell you want to follow your Cardinals, there's no better way than, well, how about the new Arizona Cardinals mobile app? It's free. It's available on the iPhone, the Android, the BlackBerry. Visit azcardinals.com/app, azcardinals.com/app. In fact, we'll get into the New York Jets next on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Oh, busted play. Sanchez just got hammered and gives up the football. Scooped up by the Patriots to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Steve Gregory. Mark Sanchez was trying to hand the ball off to Hilliard. He didn't take it. Sanchez then moved up the field and banged into his own man, Brandon Moore, and left the football there for the Patriots to scoop and score.
Well, the headline the next morning on the back pages was, and I quote, "But ugly," end quote. That was the headline after the Jets. Well, they allowed 35 points to the Patriots in the second quarter alone, and they got smash-caked on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
The biggest turkey in New York wasn't the Thanksgiving Day parade in the Macy's. No, it was on the field as the Jets went down big to the New England Patriots, and that was the most memorable play, no doubt about it. It's a Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford. Wolf has a theory about the play where Sanchez ran into the rear end on a busted play of his offensive lineman. Wolf?
He had his eyes shut. Again, that there is no other explanation when you look at it. Now Vince Wilfork, he did move the offensive lineman, but he moved him about 3 inches.
Yeah, he didn't forklift him into the backfield.
He did not.
No.
He did not, like, I believe it was Chris Collins actually calling that game. And he said, oh, he threw him right into.
No.
He did not. He moved him about 3 inches. The only explanation that you can have is that Mark Sanchez had his eyes shot.
Yeah, it's notoriously became called, I mean, the play's been called the butt fumble. It's taking a life of its own right now.
Kerry, do you agree with that? Do you agree that he had his eye shot?
Yeah, I think for that to happen, for him to be sliding down and somebody's rear end knocks the ball out, it's a little bit of a eye closage.
You know, the reason why you know he had his eyes shut, and again, I'm not trying to attack Mark Sanchez in any way, shape, or form, because he wouldn't be the first guy that shut his eyes out on the football field, okay?
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about a quarterback trying to run right up into the teeth of the front, the line of scrimmage. The reason why you know he had his eye shot is because of how he hit the ground, the force in which he hit the ground. He had no anticipation whatsoever that he was going to hit anything. And the reason being is because he didn't see anything. So when he did hit that, boom, the first thing to hit the ground was his name on the back of his jersey. That was the first thing to hit the ground, and that's why the ball also came out before he hit the ground. But that's why you knew he had his eyes shut. He had to have.
All right, so you get embarrassed and jackstomped on Thanksgiving night in front of the whole nation, and yeah. You have all these media outlets battling each other for back pages and breaking stories. I mean, it's got to be like DEFCON 5 right now in the New York media. I mean, and you've dealt with it some of this week. I mean, have you noticed? I mean, the media is just out for blood right now in New York, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, there's sharks in the water, and they see the blood. They smell it, and they're going for it, and especially when they're, you know, the Jets are in the situation they're in right now. I mean, they're 4-7 just like we are, so... Noah's tough sledding up there.
If you were in that locker room this week, compare and contrast it to like the Arizona or West Coast media. Yeah. I mean, like, how many cameras would typically be at your locker? How many different beat writers? I mean, just paint us a picture.
Yeah, it was funny because when I first signed here, when I got traded here, I did the press conference of me signing, and I saw you guys, and I was like, the first thing I said was, "This is it?"
Right, because all you were used to was New York media.
Yeah, but right now it's probably the media is probably the crowd here today.
Wow. Wow.
In the locker room right now.
And so they've been coming after you all week, or at least different questions in different ways. They're all angling for something out of you, right?
Yeah, just one little story, just something, just anything they can run with. They're going to take it, and it's going to be put in print, and it's going to sound a lot worse than what you just said.
So, Kerry, what do you expect from the New York Jets and their offense? What do you expect them to try to do?
Well, I mean, if I was those guys and knowing them and knowing the mentality of those guys, they're going to try to run the ball on us early. They're going to try to pound us. I mean, teams have had success running the ball against us the last couple of weeks, so I don't see that stopping. I don't see them going away from that early. So for us, we got to try to stop that, and then they'll try to hit the pass over the top.
Is there a constant in the rushing yards the Cardinals have given up? Is there anything in particular? I mean, is it X's and O's? Is there an explanation for it, I guess?
Yeah, we just got to play better. Besides getting into all the details, we just got to play better on all levels and just stop the run.
So do you think a lot of it had to do last week with the fact that Calais Campbell was out? Or, you know, again, Calais Campbell is a big part of what you guys do defensively. Yeah. But was it more just mental preparation and gap discipline?
Yeah, it was just our fault. I mean, like you say, gap discipline for sure. That's one of the things. But just we got to play better on all levels.
You think you're going to see Tebow? I mean, they say he is a possibility to play. He's been dealing with the rib injuries.
We're going to see Tebow time this week.
Bolts, did you catch that? That's not bad.
I did.
Let me tell you, if only the New York media had a photographer here right now, that'd be back page material. That's all I'd say.
Hold on, I got to take the knee, too. Hold on.
Oh, no. There we go.
Here we go. Strike
Terry.
The pose.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Tebow time.
I think that's our first instance of Tebowing on the Big Red Rage.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure. Well, just a reminder, St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle coming spring of 2013. For more info, visit healthwealthraffle.org. Back with more in the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Rex, you seem a little shaken up about Fireman Ed's resignation.
Well, I like Fireman Ed, man. I mean, you know, and if he could play, you know, linebacker or whatever, I'd use him. But no, I mean, I like him. I don't know what to say. I do. I appreciate him.
I tell you, Rex, this is just my opinion, might be the best candidate to fill the role of Fireman Ed. You know, I could see Rex getting up there leading the cheers, the J-E-T-S. I could see him doing that. I mean, he's probably the second biggest blowhard in New York behind Fireman Ed. I mean, let's be honest out there. Come on. It is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, presented by Santan Ford. As a former Jet, do you vividly remember Fireman Ed?
Of course. I mean, he started every chant. He was every pep rally, he was there leading the way. I spoke a couple of times with the team, and at the pep rallies, he's right there beside me, starting to chant. So, I mean, he's actively involved with the team, and he's a constant figure. He's a figure there.
So how long do you think this retirement is going to last for Fireman Ed?
Well, until they start winning again.
I see.
Exactly. You know, it is so difficult to have notoriety from obscurity and then go back to the obscure. You know how it is for so many people, right?
Yeah.
Notoriety, that becomes a drug to humankind.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, I think we will definitely see Fireman Ed
he'll be back. He will rise from the ashes somewhere.
He said, and start chants everywhere.
He said he got into so many confrontations that he had to leave at halftime the last two games. And that the fans would accuse him of being on the Jets' payroll because he's wearing a Sanchez jersey. And that would start brawls. And it would just got ugly. I mean, just it gives you a sense of that. So I know that's been in the headlines.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Rex Ryan thing has been in the headlines because he included you in his book.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He made a comment right back in the day. So, I mean, how is that dynamic for you? And how many different ways has that question been asked this week, especially from the New York media?
Well, I mean, the media has tried to, you know, they brought it up to me talking about, you know, he said those things. And for me, it really doesn't matter. That's been 3 years ago now. You know, it's time to move on. He said what he said. He felt the way he felt, just like any other individual can say what they want. And for me, I think I've come here and show and play with my heart, put my heart and guts out for this team, and I'll just move on that way.
Well, I'll say this. Just the fact you've been out here for 2 years running and you give up your Thursday evenings to be with us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, flies in the face of Rex Ryan's contention in his book. I'll just say that right there.
I appreciate that, Paul. There you go, brother.
There you go.
Not only that, also become a big-time playmaker as well. A guy
that
is making plays in the secondary. And, dare I say, becoming bellicose, warlike, physical, grabbing receivers, picking them up, and slamming them. Kerry Rhodes, you're slumming, Hollywood. You're slumming.
Okay, but are you going to have to manage your emotions come kickoff? Are you going to have to pace yourself a little bit?
I really don't know. I'm usually not that way, but for some reason, some strange reason, I think it's going to be amped up a little bit, but I'm not sure. I can't say.
I mean, I'm looking at a column right now in the New York media that the worst nightmare for Mark Sanchez isn't the butt fumble or any of that kind of slapstick stuff where he turns it over, but it's throwing a game-losing pick six to Kerry Rhodes. Somebody wrote that in the New York media. So, you know, if they're writing that, I'm sure you're sort of envisioning ways you can make plays against New York.
I'm going to make plays. Don't worry about that one. I will do that. But I'm just, like you said, I'm just trying to keep it toned, and it's not a big deal. I'm just ready to get back and play a game and get a win for this team. That's all.
I tell you, you've played for some notable coaches. Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Did you play for Herm Edwards?
Herm was my first. He drafted me. Yeah, he's my guy. Yeah.
But it was a year before we had the famous "We play to win the game" rant.
We play to win the game. Hello.
Yeah. Gary, that was good.
That was pretty good, right?
That was pretty good.
Does he have as much energy in person, around the clock, 24/7, 7 days a week, as he appears on TV and every other time you see him?
Yeah, he's really like that.
He's just relentless, isn't he?
It's not an act at all. He's definitely like that, yeah.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
One of the best guys, too, you're ever going to want to come across, Herm Edwards.
Yep.
Hey, a reminder, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry and Casa Grande, Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. That means you, Kerry Rhodes, because it's the New York Jets edition of the Big Red Rage. So why not you? You're your own guest. You're self-contained tonight. That's how we made it work here. And it's all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Wolf has a question for you, a very special question pertaining to this weekend and the Big Apple and being out there with the Big Red. That is next as we wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage.
Okay, buddy.
All right, so, Kerry, no matter what we talk about or what transpires or what has already happened in your New York experiences, your former Jets teammate and current Cardinals teammate, Jay Lee, remember, was once the subject of a Saturday Night Live skit after he missed 3 field goals while playing for the New York Giants.
Yep.
So it can always get worse.
Yeah, I remember that. It was tough.
Jay said he was already having a bad enough week, and then all of a sudden he got like 500 text messages in 5 minutes on a Saturday night. He went, "What the?" And he realized he had to shut off his phone. He said he couldn't watch it for 3 weeks and went to bed.
Yeah, yep.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Why did I never know? I mean, you never said a word about that.
The host was Dane Cook, and he played Jay Feely in a Saturday Night Live skit. So there you go, a little bit of trivia.
Wow.
Yep. All right, so Wolf, don't go ahead. Come on, let's get the question out of the way. We're going there for the weekend. Kerry, you have bed checks and curfew and all that, and Wolf was wondering, well, with your penthouse available, Wolf's in town, if maybe he could come over and just sort of hang for the weekend.
Oh, you want to crash? You want to crash?
No, as a matter of fact, no, Gary, no, okay, thank cool. you very okay, much. Good. That was Paul.
That's Paul?
Paul has these visions of waking up Saturday morning and taking a stroll through Central Park.
Yeah, I got it. I got you, Paul. I knew you were Hollywood, Paul.
Yeah, run into Carmelo at the coffee house or
it's
something.
Mellow. It's Mellow. It's Mellow. Mellow. It's Mellow.
Yeah. Do you have a coffee house here? Do you have a little, I mean, is there a little area you hang out in Central Park?
What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All over.
No, I've never been to Central Park.
As Woody Allen says, you get a Peking duck at 3 in the morning. It's New York City.
It's New York City.
Right. You know, all right. So how about a final thought? I mean, what are you going to be thinking about on Sunday come game day?
Game day.
Yeah. Take us into your mentality.
Mentally, I'll be ready to go. I'll be bumping some White Stripes or something like that, Seven Nation Army, getting myself ready to go. And
Jack White?
Yeah, a little Jack White. And, just get ready to go out and I'm going to keep that to myself. Just beat the Jets. Woo!
Special thanks to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. Kerry Rhodes, you say goodbye. It's your show. You're playing the Jets on Sunday. Go ahead.
Let's go. Card fans, we're going to win this one. All right. We got you.
Jaw.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Rhodes to the five. Touchdown.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store. Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.